When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Hey, Michael Steele podcast listeners, Michael Steele here with another quick take from the Michael Steele podcast. Check out what's going on right now.
Welcome back, everybody, to Michael Steele podcast. Great conversation this afternoon with Dr. Phil, who's got a new book, your 10th book, I believe you said. and of course, we were talking before, he says, I wouldn't plan to write another book.
But it's too much work.
It's a good one, folks. It's worth the read. As I told Dr. Phil before we started our conversation, I found myself talking to myself in response to what he'd written in the book. We've got issues, how you can stand strong for America's soul and sanity. I was particularly interested in a couple of things and narratives that you were able to create in the book around religion and spirituality, the family, your thinking around why so many Americans have become disillusioned with religion and spirituality. You note, for example, quote, the decline of religion's influence on society has led to divorce and cohabitation becoming more acceptable. Divorce and cohabitation becoming more acceptable leads to fewer later marriages. Fewer later marriages mean fewer children. Fewer children leads to less organized religion, membership, and attendance. And less organized religion combined with more children of divorce means fewer marriages. And around and around and around we go. And you feed that out quite a bit. Talk to me a little bit about this disillusionment that you have pegged into with religion and spirituality and how that has been an important impact on the family and culturally our grip with dealing with some of the pathologies again that feed this illness that we have, these issues that we have.
Well, it's a big factor in my view, and I don't care, you know, what religion you ascribe to. What I'm talking about is that for the first time in our country's history, religion, people's participation in organized religion has dropped below 50%. For the first time in our 250 plus year history in this country, it's dropped below the 50% mark. And whether you want to think about religion or whether you don't, the statistics are undeniable. And the reason I say that there's a circular pattern there is that we know that if you're involved in organized religion, for example, the birth rate, fertility rate, for those in the childbearing years is 2.1. Mm-hmm. If you're not, it's 1.3. Now, why is that important? Well, in order for us to sustain this country and the infrastructure that makes it work, we have to have a 2.1 birth rate. At 1.3, we don't have enough people coming along to support the infrastructure. I mean, all the Social Security and all the things that keep this country going, we don't have the people. We also know that the divorce rate is 50% less among people that attend church on a regular basis. Now, I don't know, you can debate why that is, but you can't debate that it is, because that's a fact. Maybe it's because they don't want to get divorced and be judged. Maybe it's because they find peace in church. Whatever the reason, it's 50% of those that never go through the church doors. And I think there are a couple of things to explain why we've got this drop off. I think there's a lot of competition for people's time and energy now. The birth rate has dropped to 1.6. And the reason most people join church is they want to have their children raised in the church, want to have them christened or baptized. So fewer children, fewer people are joining the church. So it's kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy. And it's a problem that we're either going to consciously address, or it's going to continue to erode. It's projected to continue down over the next 50 years. And that's going to really hurt our society and hurt our families. I think part of the problem is churches are not adapting. You know, the job of the church is to meet the people where they are. It's not the job of the people to meet the church where they expect them to be. You got to find the people, meet them where they are. I mean, if they're out in the park, then take church to the park.
Yeah.
If they're all watching the NFL on Sunday morning, then you better have church in the afternoon, or you better have it on Saturday afternoon, something. You got to meet the people where they are. And because this is an important element of society. And I just think if we'll get the churches to not be so staid in the way they do things and recognize that they've got to meet potential parishioners where they are, and maybe it's changing how you do it for young people or whatever, we've just got to adapt. And but I think it's worth doing, because it brings about so many positives for our society. And it, you know, and I'm not just Bible thumping here. If you can come up with some other way that creates those same positive effects on our culture and society, tell me what it is. But we know that organized religion does. And a lot of people are turned off of it because of the hypocrisy of, you know, the Catholic Church and all the scandals that they've had, and what people see in some of the other churches as well. But I'm just telling you, it makes a big difference for the family unit and the cohesiveness of the family unit. It makes a difference for things like birth rate and the family staying together. So there are big positives, and everybody involved needs to work on it. You know, consciously choose to be involved, and the churches need to do a better job of reaching out to the people.
How do you manage, Dr. Phil, the intersection of politics and faith, religion, church institutions, particularly as you see, you know, as a Catholic, as a former member of the Augustinian order in my years in seminary, you know, I see it and know it from that side of it, as well as from the lay side, and how politics and culture and other things impact the institution and the behavior of the institution itself, particularly as its leaders impact all of that. How do you, because I agree fundamentally with what you're saying, but then I'm sitting and I'm looking at what I just described in my faith, that I'm seeing in my, among my evangelical friends, this rise of Christian nationalism and what that may or may not portend for exactly what you're talking about, where pastors are more driven about the political ideology than the teachings of Jesus himself. When I'm reading in Newsweek, evangelical pastors saying that they no longer want to follow the teachings of Christ because they're too, quote, woke, I'm like, dude, What the hell are you talking about? Okay, I'm not going to church with you on Sunday because I don't want any lightning to strike me. But you see what I'm saying? You've got where the at there. I think you could argue at one point, Dr. Field, that faith and morals and those fundamental things, those common sense things, drove and informed our politics, our culture, how we educated, how we did business. Today, and certainly our politics, but today it seems our politics are driving all those other things. Our affiliation matters more than anything else. You know, my tribe is better than your tribe. And that translates into what church looks like on Sunday morning.
Well, I'm so glad to hear you say that and describe it that way, because politics and religion should be so separate. And
yes,
you know, right now, everybody thinks that Republican conservatives are evangelical, and maybe it's because of the abortion issue or whatever, but they have politicized this. And to me, now, you know, you have the Catholic background. I was born into the Baptist church and was raised in the Baptist church. And, you know, they were very conservative, and it was in, you know, Oklahoma and Texas. So you mm-hmm. can imagine that's the buckle of the Bible Belt.
Right.
But, you know, what I learned is that my relationship was with Jesus Christ. My relationship was with our Father God. It wasn't with the church.
Right.
It wasn't with the people running the church. And so the relationship I had was personal. It wasn't with the group. And I didn't care about the group's politics. We just went down there as part of the group, but my relationship was very personal.
Mm-hmm.
And politics, the group think had very little to do with it to this very day. And I had a friend that used to say, I love the Lord, it's Christians I can't stand. And I always thought, you know, you're being a little harsh. We all have flaws, but he was adamant about it. And I always thought, doesn't affect me, because it's a very, I think religion is personal. And
yes.
I don't care what somebody's politics are. And if they get up and start talking politics, I put my earbuds in and I start listening to some good gospel music. You know?
There you go. But
I do think you can find every reason in the world to let somebody come between you and God, you and Jesus Christ, you and your higher power, whatever you choose to call it. And those are excuses. They're not reasons. You still have to have, you got to own your relationship.
Yep.
And that is a one-on-one sort of thing.
Hey, everybody, thanks so much for listening today. Please go to Apple Podcasts and give us a 5-star review. Heck, give us 2 5-star reviews. I love it. Or catch us on Stitcher, iHeart, TuneIn, or wherever you get that podcast thing on. You know how that goes. Peace out.
Facepalm America is a show for progressives and others on the left who want to keep up with the ridiculousness that this country dishes out. Find out what cable news misses when they're waiting for Trump to appear at a podium. And also, every once in a while, get a laugh at how silly this hot mess of a nation of ours really is. If that's you, listen to Facepalm America. You can go to facepalmamerica.com or find us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.